send some of the references that I make because I spoke to them and introduced the subject. We'll just have to piece it together. But now, chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did prove Abraham, put him to the test, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham proceeds to do just what God tells him. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Look at verse 16. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, let's look at chapter 28. Verse 5. This Isaac has now grown, has had children of his own, Jacob and Esau. The seed through which the blessing will come is Jacob. And it says in verse 5, And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, and the brother of Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau's mother. Now, look at chapter 29. Jacob arrives at his destination, and he gets together with his uncle Laban. Look at verse 14. And Laban said to him, that is to Jacob, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him for the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were tender, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I should give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served him 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And then he not only gets Rachel for a wife, but first Leah, and then look at verse 31. And Jacob saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb, for Rachel was barren. Now, I'm reading this chapter to show you those who were in the loins of Abraham. That was what I told them about the last hour. Israel in the loins of Abraham. Now, here is Israel in the land of the living. They're no longer in the loins of Abraham. But Abraham has had Isaac, Isaac has had Jacob, and now Jacob is going to bring forth 12 sons. It's going to take him 14 years to bring forth 11, and then over 20 years before the 12th son is born. But this is where it all starts. Verse 31, And the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For, she said, because the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, for now will my husband love me. Understand that the names that are given to the children in these instances are because of circumstances, feelings on the inside, enmity with the ones that are in contention with them. There was a reason for giving the names to the children. Not like ourselves today. We look at some movie star, we get some sound that seems important to us, but at that time, when they gave a name, it had a significance to it. And we heard about the name of God as a high tower. And what God's name says about him is true. And so these are the names given to the children. And so if the child was asked, why is your name Reuben? And they could think back and say, because mother, and then they would explain why that name was given. Someday I may tell you why my name is what it is, but not now. Verse 33, and she conceived again, and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I am hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, this time will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and she left off bearing. So now we have four of the 12 sons of Jacob. Verse 30, or chapter 30, verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, and she said unto Jacob, give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, that she may bear upon my knees, and I also may obtain children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left off bearing, she took Zilpah, her handmaid, and gave her to Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, fortunate, and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me happy. And she called his name Asher. Now, look at verse 18. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I gave my handmaid to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. Then another son, the last of verse 20, Zebulun, 21. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Now, verse 23. And she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, the Lord add to me another son. All right. Look at verse 26. Jacob promised to serve 14 years for these two wives. And verse 26 says, Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service wherewith I have served thee. So let me tell you this. At this time, Jacob is 91 years old. But he's not going to get out of the clutches of Laban or his uncle yet. And so Laban says, don't go. And so he makes an arrangement to serve him 6 more years. And so his complete stay with Uncle Laban was 20 years. And then he slips away. Now let me show you this portion. Look at chapter 35. Chapter 35. And then I'll turn back to another chapter, but I want you to see this. And verse 16, they journeyed from Bethel, and there was still some distance to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, for now thou shalt have another son. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. That means son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin. That means son of my right hand. And Rachel died. All right, now, look back. I want you to see this. Look at chapter 32. Chapter 32. I mentioned that God is not only interested in fulfilling the promises he's made in giving children to these individuals, but God has a purpose in their lives as well. And so Jacob this night is upset. He's filled with anxiety because he's going to meet his brother Esau, and he's afraid his brother Esau is going to kill him and all his wives and all his children. And so this man meets him and wrestles with him. And look at verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. 32:26. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For thou hast strived with God and with men, and hast prevailed. This is where the name, the children of Israel, comes from. Jacob's other name, the name that God conferred upon him, after he wrestled and would not let him go until he blessed him, his name was changed to Israel. All right, I want to show you this, and I must turn to chapter 46. And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and he said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. All right, look now at verse 48. If you know anything about the Bible, you'll understand that Joseph's brethren had deceived their father into thinking that Joseph was dead, and poor Jacob thought that his son was dead and gone. But now he's come down into Egypt, and he finds that his son Joseph is sitting upon the throne next to Pharaoh. And look at verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel, this is Jacob, were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near and kissed them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath let me see thy seed also. One of the most touching moments in the Word of God. Now, let's look over at chapter 49. I purposely am taking time to read this because I said in the last hour that when God deals with man, He makes promises and He gives prophecies. And I brought that out concerning Abraham. Now, it is not God making prophecies concerning Abraham, that it is Jacob making prophecies concerning his sons. So look at chapter 49. I will go through this and touch on things, and look at verse 1. And Jacob called unto him his sons, and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the latter days. This is what is so remarkable, that a father has lived all his latter years with his children, and he's watched them. He sees the way they talk, how they act. He considers their behavior. And in his mind, in this chapter, he is going to describe their character and project in the future what is going to happen to them, partly based upon that character. Also because of the Spirit of God inspiring him to give this prophecy. So, look now at verse 2. Assemble yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hear, hearken unto Israel your father. If you remember the names, you'll say, here they are again. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the preeminence of my dignity and the preeminence of power. Boiling over as water, thou shalt not have the preeminence, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. Thou defiledst thou it. He went up to my couch. Something that he did, I may dwell on it later, and Jacob never forgot it. And it revealed the character in the heart of his son Reuben. Now, look at verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Weapons of violence are their sword. O my soul, come not thou into their council, unto their assembly, my glory. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hopped an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. All of you who have fathers and mothers, and all of you who are children, remember these things, because some of the things that you do in your youth, you will never be able to shake off. You will never be able to live down. This is the father at the end of his life, speaking these words concerning his children. Now, look at verse 8. Judah, thee shall thy brethren praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's son shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as a lioness, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the obedience of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he hath washed his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. So, this is Judah, and I told you something about it last time. I'll mention this again while I'm reading. I will just comment. I told you about a promise to Abraham. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How is that going to be? It's going to be because of the ultimate seed that shall be born, the Lord Jesus. In the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus came upon the scene, born of a woman, the woman's seed, and he was descended from the tribe of Judah. And notice, it says, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh come. All right, now, look at verse 11. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and the border shall be upon Sidon. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between the sheepfolds, and he saw a resting place that it was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant under task work. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider falleth backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall press upon him, but he shall press upon their heels. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a fountain. His branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shotted him, and persecuted him. But his bow abode in strength, and his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From hence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee. With blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that coucheth beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors. And of the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Benjamin is a wolf that raveneth. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at even he shall divide the spoil. All right, verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is that their father spoke unto them, and blessed them, every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. Now, the last, look at this. I want you to see what happened after so many years. Look at verse, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. Now these are the names of the sons of Israel who came into Egypt. Verse 4. Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. And Joseph was in Egypt already. Notice, the loins of Jacob. Out of the loins of Jacob came 70 souls. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Father, we marvel that after so many years, we see your promises being fulfilled at the very first. So small, so insignificant. But now, Father, we see your promises beginning to multiply. We pray that we shall understand these things, understand your faithfulness, understand your work in our hearts, in the souls of men. You know what's needed in these minutes that lie before us. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. I mentioned, and this is something that is so perplexing about God, the one out of whom the nation of Israel originally flows. You could go back to Adam, but God says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And then Jacob is the one who has the 12 sons. What is so remarkable is that God made him wait 100 years, and when he was 100 years old, he had one son. It seemed as if the promise that his seed would be as the stars of the heaven would never be fulfilled. But finally, when he was 100 years old, he had one son. And then I read you in Genesis chapter 22. God said, that son that you waited so long for, that you love, now give him back. to me. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That God, after so long, finally fulfilled his promise. He says, now, I want that son given back to me again. How could such a thing be asked of man? But God does ask it. In brief, God saw that he was prepared to give his son Isaac, and therefore God said, no, you may keep him. So think of the devotion of Abraham to God. He had trusted God when he was a dead man, physically speaking, unable to have children. And so now he says, I'm going to give this son back to God, and I can trust God in death again. As for myself, I trusted him when I was dead, and I can trust him in death if my son dies. But he had thought in his mind already. He said, God is able to raise this boy from the dead, and he'll have to do it, because he told me that in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed. So he was thinking, as he was going to give back to God, I mentioned that to you. Now, this is what is so remarkable. In years past, I've told you and shown you how to figure out how old Jacob was when he finally got married. Abraham had his first son when he was 100 years old. Then his son Isaac had his son, he had twins, Jacob and Esau, when he was 60 years old. And now Jacob has his first son when he is 84 years old. He gets married, begins to work for his wife when he's 77. 7 years later, when he's 84, then he goes into his wife, and then after that, the next year, he has a child. And what happens is this, that after so long a time, God finally is beginning to accelerate his promises of giving children through his children, Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob is the one who proliferates, the one who multiplies, and someone looking at one to Abraham would not think much. One to Isaac would not think much. But if you can look at 70 of your descendants, then there is an encouragement. You say, yes, something may develop out of this. But what is so remarkable is that to have these 70 descendants, they have had to wait over 200 years. Only 70 after 200 years. I read to you last time in Genesis chapter 15 how God had told what was going to happen to these descendants when there were no children to be seen. They were all in the loins of Abraham. God said, your children shall go down into Egypt and remain there 400 years, and afterward they will come out and be blessed. I will take them into the land of promise. And so now, Jacob, who did not want to go into Egypt, that is why I read it to you in chapter 46, God came to him, encouraged him, and said, you are to go down into Egypt, and I will make of thee a great nation there. Jacob had thought, God will make of me a great nation in the land of Canaan. But God had prophesied to his grandfather, Abraham, that his descendants would be in Egypt for 400 years, and therefore he gives word to Jacob to go down into Egypt, assures him that he will make of him a great nation there. This is the encouragement. If you're where God wants you to be, you're safe. If you're where God wants you to be. If you think the land of Canaan is the safe place, but God doesn't want you there, it's the place of danger. If you think that Egypt is the place of danger, but God wants you there, it's the place of safety. And so God assured him and sent him down into Egypt. Now, just this about those 12 sons that he had. Because we have children, and do not think that just because you are one who has embraced God as father, and you want to bring up your children in the way of God, do not think that all of your children are going to turn out to be godly. Because most of the sons of Jacob were not godly children. I could tell you good things about them and bad things about them. But if you think of your family and you say, I'm so humiliated because of what my children have done, God records it in Holy Scripture. Some of the abominable things of the children are promised, some of the things that Jacob's sons had done. I told you that Jacob had four wives, Abraham one, Isaac one, but Jacob, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah, he had four wives. And what happened was this, that when Reuben, his firstborn son, grew up, he looked upon one of his father's wives, and incest was committed. Could you live that thing down? I want you to understand that this is what happened to one of the children of Israel, one of Jacob's sons. You say, well, it was forgiven, it was overlooked. No. Reuben was the firstborn. He should have occupied the place of honor, but instead of that, he lost that place of honor. And it was transferred to Joseph. His father never forgot it. People say, forgive and forget. You may be able to forgive, but you could never forget such a thing. And so Reuben, who should have been the firstborn and received the blessing, he did not. He lost that place of honor. And in like manner, when the sons Simeon and Levi were out to avenge their sister Dinah, the one girl that is mentioned in Scripture that Jacob had, when they went out to avenge her being ravished by this heathen, Jacob never forgot it. So some of the violent things that you've done in your youth, even for a good cause, Jacob did not want this done. And Jacob said, this is what is going to happen unto you. So all of you children, remember what your fathers and mothers tell you to do. Watch what you do, because later in life, you may pray this prayer. This is what David prays in Psalm 25. He says, remember not, O God, the sins of my youth. And God can remember the sins of your youth, the things that you did in your young days, in your folly. But God in his grace can erase those things and never bring them up again. But in the case of Jacob's children, he never let his children forget. Now this, you'll find that Joseph, who was kidnapped, taken, and sold as a slave into Egypt, this son Joseph turned out to be the very best son that Jacob had. And even though his father was heartbroken and he could not understand why this was done, Joseph understood it all. Some of your children may have a communion and an intimacy with God about which you know nothing. Joseph said, God sent me down into Egypt before you to prepare the way for you. He saw the working of the hand of God, though he had the most difficult life of all the children of Jacob. And he saw that God had done that. And then understand this, that and this is what is so important, and I want to encourage you. There's some wives that are loved, and there's some wives that are not loved. So here is Leah, and Jacob never wanted to marry her, but Laban tricked him into marrying her. And she is the one who brings forth children, and not the one that Jacob loved produced the one through whom the Messiah would come, but Leah, the one that was despised, was the one through whom the Messiah came. Because Leah was the mother of Judah, and Judah is the one through whom Shiloh shall come. Now these are some introductory thoughts about the nation of Israel and the will of God. We got them down into Egypt. We'll consider them in Egypt next week, and then, God willing, we'll get them out of Egypt. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we marvel at the way that thou dost know the children of men. We look at our lives. We think that you wink at the things we do. You forget the sins we commit. But our God, let us keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And for the fathers and mothers that have children here, oh God, let their children be good children like Joseph. Let them not be like Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Let them not be bad children, but let them be good children. And, O God, if it's in thy power and in thy will, have mercy upon those children who have gone astray and done evil things, and remember not the sins of their youth. But let us remember, our God, that even though your promises take long to fulfill, there is something behind that promise, their purposes in your heart. And so develop us, make us what we are, and we who are Jacob's, may the time come when we wrestle with thee, and our names are changed to Israel. Bless us and keep us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.